This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
My name is David Boyce of 52 Churches in 52 Weeks, and this is Gospel Tangents.
It's the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology, and first daily Mormon history podcast. I'm Rick Bennett. I'm excited to introduce David Boyce. He's the author and host of 52 Churches in 52 Weeks. I asked him how he got into that, and he said it had to do with a faith crisis. So it's a little different than a typical story that you hear in the LDS church with the faith crisis. So I will like to introduce you to David Boyce and let him tell his part of the story. You won't want to miss this conversation. Check it out. Welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm excited to have an internet superstar on the show.
Oh,
could you go ahead and tell us who you are and what's the name of your YouTube channel?
My name is David Boyce of 52 Churches in 52 Weeks.
All right. And so you've really, well, apparently, tell us how this channel got started. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Oh boy. It's a long story.
That's what we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. So about 2014, I was looking, I had basically had a falling out with my lifetime Lutheran church.
Oh.
And I was.
You didn't talk to Willie Grills. He would talk you out of that. I had him on. He's a Lutheran pastor in Arkansas.
Okay.
But he's far away. You're from Wisconsin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So with that church, just had a few things that came up where I'm like, I can't keep coming. And what was happening, so I went down with my generation, like with millennials, like we would often have, like you hear so much now about faith crises.
Mm-hmm.
So I was starting to go into a faith crisis. So I stopped going to church, but there was like something inside of me where it's like something's just not right. And it kind of hit me, well, maybe I need to find a new church. But I had gone to this lifetime church like for 30 years. And it's like, where do you start over? So I had like this whisper, and I don't know, is it Holy Spirit, is it God, who knows? But I just had this thing to say 52 churches in 52 weeks. It sounds silly, but I'm like, wow, that
sounds like a great marketing idea to me.
Right, exactly. So I just let it sit. And all of a sudden, things happened where, like, I was talking to a friend. He was like complete opposite of me. Like, for me, like, I have always been very Christian. I was always about, very conservative, follow everything by the book, whereas my friend was very atheist, very liberal, just very opposite of me. And like I had in the past, we would have these religious debates. So, I was always like, well, you need to read the Bible. You just need to believe, just kind of sprinkle my little jazz hands to try and get him to believe what I thought. Whereas with him as an atheist, he was trying to get me away from faith and get me, basically that science atheist kind of movement that was happening. So I was just kind of stuck. And I decided with this thing, 52 churches in 52 weeks, let's try it. So I just went to the closest church that was near me, maybe about an Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Hail Mary pass away, because I know you're a Patriots fan. And
are you a Jets fan now?
No, goodness, no. No, Packers all the way.
Okay.
So Jordan Love, Utah State. Better get good soon.
All right.
We'll see how this ages, if what happens with that. So I went to that church for my week one, and I started blogging on a website called medium.com. And so I did several church visits. So I did the first six.
So this was a blog, not a video only.
Right. So okay. Originally 2014, this was a blog.
Oh, wow.
And so like my friend had interested me to start blogging about it. So he found me a website, medium.com. It was really crisp. It was a very easy layout. You could just get it out. It worked really well at that time. So I started doing all these church visits, and then week seven happened. So I went to a United Methodist church for their Thanksgiving service.
Now, remind me again, this first church, this first non-Lutheran church was what again?
So the first church was a Lutheran church.
Oh, it was.
It was just a different type of Lutheran church.
Oh, okay.
So I came from a Wells Lutheran church. Wells is W-H-E-L, which stands for Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod.
Oh.
So for this one, I went to a Missouri Synod Lutheran Church.
Oh, now Willie Grills is from Missouri Synod, and I've heard that's very conservative. Is that true?
Very conservative. The one that I came from was even more conservative.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Missouri was the most conservative. Yeah. But okay, yeah. Wow.
Oh, actually, let me back up. I think it was actually ELCA was that first church visit, because the first few visits I did were all Lutheran churches.
Oh, okay. So you were trying to stay in the fold, kind of.
I was trying to stay comfortable because I didn't want to go too far out from what I was used to. So I did a couple different ELCA and Missouri Synod churches that were Lutheran. And then I started doing other denominations. And so when I did my week seven visit, it was a United Methodist church.
Okay.
And when I first sat down, a gentleman plopped a 12-pack of toilet paper right next to me and said, "Here, give this to the kids." And I'm just sitting here by myself, just kind of wondering, what kind of greeting is this? So the rest of the service.
This was before the toilet paper shortage, right?
Right. Right. This was before the toilet paper storage, before the pandemic, 2020. So the rest of the church service, I'm just sitting next to this toilet paper. Just wondering, what am I supposed to do with this? Who are these kids I'm supposed to give this to? What's happening? So, but I remember that church service because they had like a meet and greet. And it was the first church service I had seen where the meet and greet, like they didn't stop. Like they kept talking like for 5 minutes straight of just like they were genuinely curious about each other's lives and to contribute to that. So I finally figured out what to do with the toilet paper. It was for like this Thanksgiving food pantry that they were doing. So they were going to have kids with these carts.
Okay.
And they're going to wheel it down, but they need items to add it for their food pantry so it looked full.
Oh.
So that was done. So I blogged about it. So the title of my blog post was "Toilet Paper Puns Are Terrible."
Oh, no.
So what happened from there is the blogging website, medium.com, they had a staff that would upvote articles to its front page. So they got a crack out of it. They weren't featuring many religious stories. So they put it on the front page. So a lot of people started reading this. That then got on the Google algorithm. So if anyone typed in toilet paper puns, my church visit was coming up. As more and more people read about this strange church visit, and they were just looking for toilet paper puns, which I had several of them that were very charming, anyway. So that kind of blew up. And then after that, I'm like, oh, this, okay, people could be interested in this as I continue on. So, yeah. But from there, like I started doing other church visits, and the more, and like it just started in Wisconsin, but then I started getting interested about more and more and more churches. And then I'd start traveling further out. And I remember I think it was week 13, I drove out to Minneapolis to do Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel. And this was a church that was specifically catered towards Army veterans, Navy veterans, Air Force, just any kind of veterans. And I remember driving back, it's like, who drives 3 hours to church and 3 hours back?
Wow.
And then, but it kind of hit me like, okay, this is a bit of a spiritual adventure. What else can I do?
Okay.
And so just trying to make it very exciting and a little bit more of something where many people may think church is boring, let all of a sudden now I'm like, church is kind of exciting. What else is out there?
Wow. So this is still in 2014?
2014.
So you're just a blogger at this point. You're not a video star yet.
Exactly. Well, I wouldn't call myself a star, but with YouTube, yeah, that's kind of further enhanced the reach for people kind of checking out this this spiritual trek that I'll do.
See, I didn't know you went clear back to 2014. You're way old then as far as the blogging world.
Yeah, well, at that point, like, I was just blogging.
Right.
But then after I completed the 52 churches, like,
I
was done for a while. Like, I kept writing about it because I was that interested in it. But just due to the time, the money, the distance, the travel, like, I had to take a break.
Yeah. So you weren't going to go 3 hours one way again.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Until later.
Yeah. Pretty much. So
you took a break of how many years?
So, goodness, about 7 years.
Wow.
Before I started doing it again. Because I thought, okay, this was going to be a one-time deal.
Okay.
I was like, just do
it. Now, was this like January to December or?
No. So what happened is, I think it was October 14th, 2014 is the first day I did it. I just woke up, or the night before, I'm like, I should go to church and do this.
Okay.
And it was just kind of like 24 hours beforehand, I didn't plan doing it at all.
Uh-huh. But
that idea, the 52 churches in 52 weeks, was just so stuck in my head.
Yeah.
Like, let's see what happens if we would do it.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Okay. Well, very cool. So primarily back in 2014, you're just dealing with churches mostly in Wisconsin.
At first.
And you're just blogging about them. Now, you mentioned a little bit of a faith crisis, but it doesn't sound like a Mormon faith crisis, and I don't know how much you've studied that. Can you tell us a little bit more about this faith crisis?
Because
it doesn't sound like it was too much of a faith crisis if you kept going to church.
Right. Well, so, yeah, what happened with the faith crisis is, so with the church I had been a part of, like, my entire life, like, there just different kind of things would come up. You know, like, there was, like, a church scandal, just to kind of put under the rug.
Like a sex scandal kind of a thing? Money digging, laundering?
I wouldn't say. It was just very just shady, we'll say.
Something shady happened.
Something shady happened.
Okay.
And, like, you know, it was just kind of, you know, put under the rug.
Okay.
You know, we'll never talk about it again. But at the same time, like, I was having issues with communion. So what our church would often preach would be closed communion. You had to be a member to receive communion.
Okay.
And the more that I, with my conversations with my atheist friend, like, it kind of, maybe that was like a little bit of an influence for me to be like, I don't know if that's right. Because if we are inviting people into our church, but we don't invite them to the dinner table, like, what are we doing?
Okay.
So with my old church, like, I was an usher. So I'd usher once every month. And I remember one time this gentleman came in with his wife, just dressed to the nines, took a seat, and my then pastor welcomed him. But I remember the gentleman kind of pointing at the back of our bulletin, where only members could receive communion. And they kind of got into this little argument.
And this gentleman and your pastor.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, as the usher, like, I'm kind of eavesdropping a little bit. But at the same point, people are walking in. I'm handing them bulletins, just kind of smiling. Hey, nothing to see here. We're a great church. But the gentleman, you know, took his wife's hand and they stormed out of the church.
Oh.
And that just always, that was like a little tiny snowball. And that just started to get bigger and bigger and bigger in my own head, to the point of, why do we do this?
And so the idea was, he was a member, his wife wasn't, so she couldn't take communion? Is that what?
So I guess they both couldn't take communion because they were both visiting the church. So, yeah, it was just very, to me, at the time, I was like, great, get out of here. Like, you have to be a member of our church. I remember just thinking afterwards, that's not the right Christ-like response to deal with that. So I think that was one part of maybe my faith crisis, is I'm starting to ask questions, but I didn't have anyone to ask them to. I'm just asking myself about this, asking my friend who's an atheist. I don't even think I was asking him, but just kind of questioning, why is it why are the things that we do, where does that come from? So that always just bothered me to the point with other things that happen, just minor things. But that was the big one that just kind of like, that just seems weird to me.
So if somebody was from, say, Missouri Synod and came to this Wisconsin Synod, for lack of a better term, could they take communion or no? They had to be a member of that specific congregation?
I don't
believe so. Oh, wow.
So there's, I think, like 50, 60s. There's a whole history on this. So maybe, who'd you say his name
Willie Grills.
Maybe Willie Grills will know.
Willie, we'll contact
Willie, you. Willie, we need Willie on this. So my understanding is I don't believe so. I think you had to be a member of that specific Lutheran sub-denomination to be a part of it. So
wow, that is pretty tight. I'm surprised to hear that. So, all right. So this communion issue kind of came up. Mm-hmm. And then you said, I don't know if I like my congregation, but you're still a believer in God, it sounds like. You still want to explore.
I was teetering. Yeah. Okay. So I was teetering.
You weren't going towards atheism, though.
So I think I was beginning to feel that.
Okay.
But what was different with my faith crisis is instead of going to the full atheist side, I decided, okay, instead I'm just going to go all in.
Okay.
I'm going to devote a year of my life to figure this out. Is church true?
Uh-huh.
Is God true? And I think when I started doing it at first, it was just such an adventure that it was building up this fire within me where just do maybe to the novelty of it, just where are you going to go next? Like I got so excited about it and seeing other churches and how they responded to first time visitors.
Right.
Like that was a much more, okay. Whereas maybe some people leave the faith due to one church or two events, or I'm sorry, one church, maybe two churches where they had issues with those particular churches. I'm like, well, I'm just going to try as many as I can because it can't all be, issues with one or two churches. I don't know if that makes sense, but.
And so the idea was just, you weren't planning on joining any of these churches. You just wanted to see what was out there, basically.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, I think it's a cool idea. And obviously it's turned into a YouTube channel now.
Yeah.
So, and I guess I should mention for those of you who don't know, a few weeks ago, back in October, me and David and Steve Pineacre presented at the John Whitmer Historical Association. And so I got a preview of some other stuff we're going to talk about. But before we jump into that, can you talk about that first year, 2014 to 2015? Do you have any big takeaways from other churches that you really liked or really disliked? Oh, well, I'll go both ways.
I think one, because I try to do just all types. So as it progressed, the more exciting it would get. So I would drive to Texas to check out some of these mega church.
Oh, wow. So you did this clear back in 2014?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, a lot of miles on the car. So I counted. So I actually figured out how many miles I had doing it the first time. So it was about 26,000. So I learned on another podcast, like that was like basically around the earth one time, just with all the driving to go to church.
Wow.
Which was crazy. But yeah, I would go to Texas for the mega church.
Because I thought you were staying in Wisconsin, but you went to Texas?
I blew it up. So after that trip to Minneapolis, I'm like, how much further out can I go? So I'd go to the mega churches in Texas.
Oh, wow.
I went to a few. So I drove East Coast to New York, Manhattan to try out church there.
And how did you pick these churches?
Sometimes people requested them.
Okay.
Other times I just would Google search. And if I saw a church that looked really interesting, I'm like, oh, that would be fun to visit.
So these were predominantly Christian churches. You didn't go to Jewish synagogue or Muslim or anything like that?
I did do one Jewish synagogue.
Okay.
And then I did a Baha'i temple.
Oh, wow.
So that was, but what I learned is like, I couldn't do justice to different type of like religions that weren't Christian.
Okay.
So, and it was called 52 churches. I didn't want
it to be 52 synagogues.
Right. I didn't want it to be 49 churches, a synagogue, a Baha'i temple, and, some random meeting house in 52 weeks. I just.
Okay.
So when I did the recent one on YouTube, I tried to be more, only churches this time.
Okay.
I'll try not to do the other faiths that I just don't know enough about. So.
Okay. So Texas, New York, that's pretty good. California. I mean, Wisconsin's kind of in the middle of the country.
A little bit, yeah.
It's still, is that East time zone or
Central?
Central, okay.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with David Boyce. In our next conversation, we're going to find out his first impressions of visiting an LDS church.
Okay, here we go. Like, I don't know what any of this is going to be, but I'm going to walk in, figure out what this is. So I walked in, and just the pictures were the first thing that I saw, and it just blew my mind. Because I saw Joseph Smith with, you know, God the Father and God the Son in this painting in front of Joseph Smith. And I'm like, he's wearing pants. Like
Joseph Smith is wearing
right,
pants.
19th century. Like, I'm not used to that type of Christian like artwork.
Oh.
To see a 19th century clothing.
You're used to first century stuff.
Yes. So that completely blew my mind. And I sat down and like, what is going to happen?
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, subscribe on either Patreon or at gospeltangents.com. For just $5 a month, you can hear the entire audio uninterrupted. On our $10 tier, if you'd like to see the whole video, you can see that either on youtube.com/gospeltangents, or I've got a special Facebook group devoted for full videos. So subscribe at gospeltangents.com. And sign up for just $10 a month. For $20 a month, if you'd like to get some bonus content, maybe some of the stuff that ended up on the cutting room floor, you can sign up for that. And then if you'd like to talk to me for $100 a month, we'll do a monthly phone call on something like Zoom, and you can ask me anything you want. So thanks again. Also, don't forget about the merch, mugs, t-shirts, hats, things like that. I'm trying to get the ties up there. Hopefully I can get up there. And thanks again for watching Gospel Tangents. And click here for some more videos.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.